You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello, and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Justin here, along with the cousins Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Husker Cuzcast, for all podcast updates and more. It's a big win for the Huskers. We got a 52-7 win over Fordham this weekend. It was a great win, first win of the year for Scott Frost and the Huskers. Tyler, what can we take away from this game here?
Well, I think Nebraska did what they needed to do. I don't think they exceeded anybody's expectations, but I think whenever you control a game and you win 52-7, and we'll get into some of the stats, I think they did what they needed to do for at least 1 week to quiet some of the critics.
Derek, what was your reaction to the game?
Well, first off, let's talk about this. Should at least make the run the damn ball guy happy. Like, six rushing touchdowns, 324 rushing yards. I mean, it wasn't a perfect game. Could have been better. But again, like Tyler said, we did what we needed to do. We won by 45 points. I people are still complaining, and I don't get it. But
well, Derek, let's talk about the running backs, the running game here. Gabe Irvin, he got the start. Not a lot of success was there with Gabe Irvin. Marquise Stepp, he comes in, 18 carries, over 100 yards rushing. He looks like he could be the guy. What are your thoughts on the running back room right now?
Well, I think Sevian Morrison passed up Gabe Irvin. I know the depth chart, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit too, but the depth chart don't show that, but hell, he had two rushing touchdowns. It looked serviceable. Marquise Stepp looked good. Gabe Irvin, I wasn't impressed with him. I maybe it's the true freshman thing. I think he's got potential, but he's not reaching it yet.
Tyler, in your eyes, is Gabe Irvin even one of the top three running backs on the roster? Tyler?
Oh, do I think he's one of the top three running backs?
Right.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, I made a comment on Saturday that I don't know if he's one of the top five running backs on the roster. You know, and all seriousness, I think the depth of that position looks incredible right now. But what I will say is, Gabe Irvin, I think there is an element of this can be chalked up to freshmen. You know, it doesn't look like it's an athletic thing. It looks like he's the right size. It looks like he's athletic enough. He just doesn't seem to have the vision in the scheme yet. I know there's a lot of people that really want to see him pretty much buried on the depth chart. I'm fine with the coaches trying to find him a couple series of real game to get him some carries, because obviously they're seeing something in practice. It is not translating to Saturday. This upcoming week against Buffalo is another opportunity to maybe give him some game reps before you get into the heart of the season. But yeah, I mean, right now, Sevian Morrison, Derek mentioned, obviously all the accolades go to Marquise Stepp, who has clearly looked like the number one guy. But I mean, you could say Ramir Johnson, Marvin Scott, and Jacques Zian, I think, all look to be more productive than Gabe Irvin so far.
So you're starting Marquise Stepp?
100%.
I'll say this. You know, Tyler, you talk about him struggling for the first two games. But I and I'm not saying he is this, but there was a point when Wandell Robinson was a true freshman, and I said we needed to think about redshirting him, because the first two or three games, he didn't look that impressive. And so, I mean, give the guy a few more games, I guess. But again, yeah, I wasn't overly impressed with him.
So the staff, you know, they've said repeatedly that they want one guy, one go-to guy, moving down the road, right? And it sounds like there's going to be a little bit more of a running back rotation here headed into the Buffalo game. I mean, is that something that you want to see, Derek?
I'm fine with it if they're successful. But, I mean, if you got a guy that's getting 2 yards a carry, maybe he's not the guy to go to.
Should not be in the rotation. Yeah. And, you know, I guess one of those things, you know, against Fordham, if you can't get the running game going against Fordham, I mean.
And I'll say this, like, give Marquise Stepp the 18 carries a game. Like, every game, give him those carries. Yeah,
Exactly. That's what I was going with.
I don't care if you want to rotate after that, that's fine. But yeah, give Marquise Stepp those 18 carries. He appears to at least deserve them. I mean, so I don't know why you wouldn't.
Let's talk about quarterbacks here. Adrian Martinez had one hell of a game. Tyler, what are your thoughts on Adrian Martinez against Fordham?
Yeah, played really well. Nothing taken away from Adrian. Still probably carrying the ball too much too early for my liking. You know, he had 8 carries on Saturday, which against Fordham was too many. Looks good running the ball. I mean, again, nothing Adrian's not doing. Played a relatively clean game. Had the one fumble, which, you know, going back on it, looked like that was supposed to be a bootleg that Gabe Irvin may have tried to take the ball away from Adrian, or Adrian tried to give it to him. I guess I don't know what happened, but the play call was a bootleg that should have required Adrian to keep the ball, and yet it looked like there's a handoff miscue. So, but played a clean game. Looks good throwing the ball downfield. Justin, you were big on this to start the year. I mean, I'm not saying he is Patrick Mahomes out there, but he is completing 50% of his passes on 20 yards plus balls. Had one overthrow to Wyatt Lever that looked more like a bad route than a bad overthrow. So, overall, he is playing fairly well through the first two games and played really well on Saturday.
Well, Logan Smothers, we got our first chance to see the backup quarterback. And I thought Logan Smothers, I thought he came in and he did beyond okay. I mean, he was good for his very first action in the game. Derek, what were your thoughts on Logan Smothers?
Yeah, I mean, he threw 4 for 7. I think Xavier Betts kind of bailed him out on one of those with a great catch.
That was a great catch.
But at the end of the day, look, he's serviceable. I don't feel as concerned if Adrian Martinez were to go down for a little bit and we had to rely on him. But I still don't like him long term yet.
Terrible fumble that he had, huh?
Oh, God. Is it just etched into Nebraska's DNA that the quarterback has to fumble a damn ball? Like, this has been a problem. This has been a problem for way too long. Hey, Taylor Martinez struggled with this. The only quarterback I think that didn't really struggle with it was Tommy Armstrong, and he just threw interceptions. He didn't fumble much.
My joke to you guys, when Logan Smothers made the fumble, I was like, wow, he must have the same quarterback coach as Adrian Martinez. It made me laugh, damn it.
I don't know that. I don't know how much that's on coaching. Like,
I don't know.
Hold on to the damn ball.
It was a joke, man.
I get it. But his first mistake was turning his back to the defender.
Yeah.
Like, I just slide, go down, whatever. There was no reason to try and juke him out of that tackle. I mean, it was Logan Smothers trying to make a little more out of something that wasn't there.
Tyler, did you like what you saw of Logan Smothers?
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you guys have said. He was fine. I mean, he was about what I expected to see against Logan Smothers. Something notable about that too is he was still playing against Fordham starters. Like, this wasn't like backups on twos on twos at this point. He was still playing against the Fordham's ones, and yeah, I mean, he moved the ball well, led drives. Obviously, the fumble killed one, but you know, I think when Logan Smothers went in the game, Justin, in your preview, you talked about when the backup started getting in, you really thought our offense was going to kind of slow down and the scoring was going to stop. And I think he kept the train of moving pretty well into that fourth quarter and ended up playing well. I think the coaches did a really nice job with him, giving him some passing opportunities with not running up the score. Like, I think there was that fine balance between giving him like relevant game reps where he's not just handing the ball off. He threw it 7 times, looked good throwing it. He has a decent arm. I was happy with what I saw of him on Saturday.
Hey, even Matt Masker got a handoff.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you guys put behind that anyway? I mean, did they just put Matt Masker in there just to get him on the field? I mean, because chances are running out.
I
assume so at this point.
And maybe save the 4 games for Harburg is kind of what my thought is. If you're not going to play Harburg this year, you might as well try to redshirt him. And are you going to blow one of his 4 games on the very last play, one play? I mean, I don't know if we're going to need those 4 games from Harburg, but...
Well, you know what? That's a very fair point, because we've been critical of Scott Frost in the past. Like, personnel management.
Ramir Johnson.
Throwing guys at, yep. Exactly.
And so I think that's what I read of that is like, hey, we're just gonna run it out, get Master in for the final play and save those four games for Harburg in case Adrian goes down.
I want to go back to one thing that you had mentioned with Logan Smothers going against Fordham's, the top defense. I want to use this as an opportunity to give a huge shout out to that linebacker, Ryan Greenhagen. So he was credited with 31 tackles today. Not 30, 31. I mean, that is insane.
Which breaks a Division I record.
Yeah.
He had tied it with the 30, but they went back and found an extra tackle in there for him, so he broke the record. It's impressive.
You know, Marquise's Steps' reaction to that post-game, if you haven't seen that clip, was just priceless.
That was hilarious.
He's like, he had 30 – shut up. I mean, his jaw dropped. And, he was a good player. I don't know what his future is, but, man, he looked like a real player. And, if he wasn't on the field for Fordham, we may have gone for 80. Like, I mean, he made a lot of plays for them. And
he had 13 solo tackles and 17 assists. Well, plus another one in there too. But
yeah, he was all over the field, all over. Great game by him.
Let's talk about wide receivers real quick because a lot of wide receivers got into the game. Tyler, I'm going to give it to you.
This is the best I felt about wide receiver depth. I felt that going into the year. I think Fordham really displayed it. You look at some of these plays. Omar Manning was second on the team in snap count. He continues to impress me. He started on Saturday. He went 3 for 3, three targets, three completions. I really hope his playing time continues to go up. Xavier Betts came in, I thought, played really well. Alonte Brown had one of the best jukes of the game. I really do. I think when Oliver Martin's back healthy, I mean, we are looking at a 6-7 person wide receiver room, and I would love to see like Alonte Brown really start getting some more meaningful snaps as the season progresses.
Is Samori Toure, is he taking over the Wandale Robinson where he's going to get all the targets and run the ball?
I don't know if that's accurate. I think that when Oliver Martin was at game one.
Yeah, he was.
I think it'll be really interesting when Oliver Martin and Samori Toure gets on the field and then Vokalek gets back in the line. I think that you start adding more weapons. It will be interesting to see what Martinez and the coaching staff do with all these weapons on the outside.
Derek, your thoughts on the wide receivers?
Well, I want to go back to your Samori Toure comment. I mean, Tyler brought it up already, but I mean, Oliver Martin was the go-to guy in the Illinois game. So I don't know how one game all of a sudden makes you think he's going to take over for Wandale Robinson.
Well, I guess I mean that because he's running the ball. He had three rushes on the option plays. He's running the ball. He's catching passes. He's kind of like doing it all. I mean, and the numbers that he put up were awesome on each side of the ball.
Absolutely.
So that was that comparison right there because Wandale Robinson was the guy that was running the ball and catching the ball. So,
I don't think they're going to force the ball to Samori Toure the way they did Wandale, though. I think we have enough weapons now that they don't have to do that.
Before we move on to defense, is there anything that worried you about the offense in this game at all, Tyler?
I would still say offensive line. We kind of beat up Gabe Irvin a little bit, but I think that a lot of that has to do with the offensive line just not quite being there. And I get this offensive line isn't going to put 95 Huskers holes in the play, but they're still just not getting the type of gaps that I would like to see. A lot of these guys are still under 10 starts in their career. They're still really young. I think they will continue to get better. Buffalo is going to be a big test for them. Buffalo is a game where, third game in the season, let's start seeing this go a little bit more than we've seen it. And, the pass protection really wasn't perfect. I really wanted to see Adrian be completely clean the whole game. It wasn't that. So that right there is the only real concern leaving the Buffalo game, assuming they found Marquis Stepp at running back.
What about you, Derek?
I mean, I agree with what Tyler said there. The slow start's still a little concerning.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to read too much into the slow start. I get why people are, though, because if you have a slow start against Oklahoma or even Michigan or Ohio State.
Buffalo.
Even Buffalo. I think Buffalo, you have a chance you could probably come back with. But some of those other teams, there's no chance. If you start off slow and they take a big lead, I don't think you're coming back.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm Mr. King overreaction on everything. But I'm with you, Derek, on the slow start. Because this is a game, you know, when we did our preview last week of Fordham, I mean, we acknowledged this is just a huge mismatch. I mean, it was going to be dominant. Derek, you had asked a question last week. What do we want to see out of the punters? Do you want to see a 50-yard punt or no punts? Well, we had to punt twice, and neither one went 50 yards. But, yeah, it's just, you know, we were punting, and it's like, my God, why aren't we moving the ball against this Fordham defense? Because there were times where the Fordham defense, I mean, they were pushing our line back. And apparently Adrian Martinez, he had to get into the offensive line's asses on the sideline, and they stepped it up after that. They responded well after that. So, but it just took a while for that to happen. And not that I felt like we were ever in jeopardy of losing. I didn't. It was just like it took way too long to get to that ass whooping at the end of the game, like what it ended up turning out to be.
But
well, maybe Adrian Martinez getting on the offensive line in this particular game is the wake up call that they needed, and maybe that carries on for the next 10 games.
Yeah, but yeah. So anything else about the offense? All right, let's hit up defense here. Derek, what are your overall thoughts on the defense in this game?
Ah, man. I think this was actually the most disappointing. Everybody's disappointed that the offense started slow. I was more disappointed in what the defense did in the first half. Man, they kind of got gashed there quite a bit. There was one play I know that receiver made just a spectacular diving catch.
Oh, that,
there was nobody.
The one-handed tip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was nobody covering him. If that quarterback throws a good ball, that's another 7 points on the board. They had a few big runs on us I wasn't impressed with. I'll say this. Everybody always bitches about Scott Frost and his staff not making adjustments in the second half. They did a good job this game because, man, this looked like a completely different team in the second half. Yeah. And they were completely dominant in the second half, the way they should have been the whole game. But overall, I'm not going to complain. So Nebraska gave up 292 yards, which, I mean, it was Fordham. They probably should have held them to less. But this is the sixth game in a row that Nebraska's given up less than 400 yards. And that's showing mass improvement to me.
Okay. I want to say one thing about one of their offensive guys, just mainly because he has a really cool name, that wide receiver, that Fotis Kokosoulis. Man, he made some moves out there, man. He was quick out there.
He did.
He got
knocked down a couple times too, though. Yeah. He took some hits.
He was a little dude, but he was fast. He was fun to watch.
His touchdown pass, the one touchdown they had, was all on him. Like, it was a good throw. I'm not saying it wasn't, but he evaded those defenders like they were just completely lost.
Yeah, I think it was Markell Dismuke that he ran around there. It's kind of like an arcade move. Yeah, I thought the defense, especially in the second half, they really kicked ass. But I will say one thing about Fordham. They were not intimidated coming into Memorial Stadium. The coach, I forget his name, but yeah, the fourth-year coach, he wasn't intimidated. They showed him on the sideline, and he just seemed like he knew what he was doing. It seemed like that they'd been in that moment before, and they acknowledge they've never been in that moment before, having, you know, that many thousands and thousands of people at a game. And it was good. I mean, they gave a one hell of an effort in the first half, and by the end of the first half, we beat the shit out of them. I mean, they were beaten down. If they didn't have the Energizer Bunny dude in that linebacker. It could have got really ugly, like Tyler has said. Tyler?
Well, okay, so you talked about them not being intimidated. And I will say that I think the days of, like, college football teams, for the most part, like, an FCS team isn't usually intimidated by a Power 5 team. Like, Montana, I mean, there's just been too many of those victories at this point for people to be scared. App State, you go back when they beat Michigan, I feel like college football changed at that point. Like, these FCS teams, instead of going in there just to, you know, get that one big stadium and look like, I think they have changed their mindset to this being a moment for them. So I'm not shocked by that. I'm not shocked that Fordham came out playing. Also, last week we did say if Fordham had an opportunity, their offense was really good. And that our defense was able to shut them down the way that they did was very impressive. I mean, I know they got some plays early, but, like, especially later in the game, our secondary blanketed them. Deontay Williams had that one interception, and I think I made the comment, if that was Tom Brady and Randy Moss and that coverage was that tight, it still was going to be an interception or an out of bounds because there was no chance that was going to be completed as much as he was blanketed there. So overall, really good game. They were opportunistic in turnovers. But the thing that actually got me the most excited was the rotations we saw. Like, you saw at defensive line, 11 different players taking snaps. Ty Robinson led the team with 26 snaps at defensive line. There was a lot of rotation up front. That's going to tell me, and Casey Rogers isn't back healthy yet. When he gets back, that defensive line looks really deep. I thought that some of the linebackers started to play pretty well. A lot of players got on the field that we hadn't seen. A lot of snaps, a lot of rotation. I like what this team is doing with the depth that they're building on defense. It is far deeper unit than the offense at this point.
Let me ask you this: Did Tava Mauga Clements, did he bide time for more playing time after that game?
He's or a quick just, dude.
Dude, he looked good when he was in. He really did.
My concern with him has kind of been the concern to get there is, like, maybe against an Oklahoma, maybe against a Purdue, but, man, you put him, he just isn't big. Like, he has an eye for the ball. He is aggressive. He goes right at it. You put a Wisconsin running at him. I don't know what he weighs, but he looked like he was barely 200 pounds. I don't know. I mean, I loved what I saw from him. He played a really good game, nothing away from him. And I hope we do see him some more against Buffalo and maybe the Oklahomas, that teams that spread it out a little bit more. But because he does look like he can make open field tackles and really aggressive. I'm not buying him in Big Ten play yet.
So I was talking to Uncle TR this afternoon. We were talking about the game, and he brought up Tava Mauga Clements. And, you know, and he was really impressed with what he saw. And then he found out later with the snap count, like he had just eight snaps or something. And I was like, wow, that shocks me. But you know why everybody notices him on the field? It's the hair. He's got the best hair on the damn team. So everybody knows when he's on the field, whether or not he's making a play or not, you just know that he's on the field.
Yeah, but you have to admit that's fairly impressive that you have two great tackles in eight plays.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I mean, that percentage is pretty damn good.
And I think when we're talking about the defense, we probably did a disservice for not mentioning Justin's favorite Husker, Deontay Williams.
Hey, but, two interceptions, man.
I mean,
it was definitely the best game he's had since being a Husker. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Speaking of interceptions, can you believe that JoJo Doman, that's his first interception? He's been playing at Nebraska for 17 years, and he finally gets an interception? I was shocked by that stat when they said that.
DiCaprio Boodle played 45,000 games before he got his first one.
Well, but JoJo is a good tip drill. Markel Dismuke came in for a block punt or block field goal. Yeah, I mean, really good game by the secondary.
Yeah, and that was a huge play by JoJo Doman because that drive, you just felt, I mean, Fordham had some momentum going. It just felt like they were going to drive the field and score again. And he got the tip, came down.
Again, wasn't it on the first drive?
I don't think so.
I will tell you, probably
whatever remember, it was, it felt like they were driving the field.
I'm pretty sure it was before they had scored, because I think it was in the, I'm sure it was in the first quarter, and they didn't score until the second quarter. But either way,
the so point I'll is, looked like that they were on their way to score.
So I'll tell you the most impressive defensive series for me on the game, the sequence. We hold them second half. We go into halftime 24-7. That's about what I expected. Nothing to be alarmed on. They get the ball at halftime. We hold them to three and out. They punt it. We Cam Taylor-Britt does a really stupid play, fumbles a punt. They get the ball back inside Husker territory. And then I should have looked this up because I had meant to, but I think that's when we hold them to another three and out, and then they go for it on fourth. And Deontay Williams gets the interception. And again, that was a point in the game where they were on in Husker territory. Like, that could have been a point in the game where they score a touchdown, and then all of a sudden this game gets a little bit more dicey. If they pulled that within 10 points at that, to hold the team to 2-3 and outs in a row after back-to-back series, that was an impressive stand by this defense. And something they didn't do against Illinois, they did not come out the second half strong. And they, you know, I think 34 yards is what they gave up in the second half. They played much better in the second half. I really hope that's a trend as the season goes on.
All right, you guys ready to talk about our next opponent?
Let's do it.
All right. The Buffalo Bulls will be coming to Lincoln for a 2:30 kickoff. Big winners over Wagner. They won 69-7. Wagner's a FCS team that's also in the Patriot League, the same conference that Fordham is in. Not a very good team. So I don't know what you can take away from this team other than it was an ass whooping, but I mean, it was Wagner. Derek, what are your thoughts on Buffalo coming to town?
Well, just to add on to that, I mean, I'm going to steal some Tyler stuff here.
I should have given this to Tyler first, huh?
We both looked this stat up. So I'll leave half of it for you, Tyler. I'll try to anyway. Last year in 2020 or the 2020 season, 2021 spring season that they played, they were 0-2. And in those two games, they only scored 7 points. Like, Wagner is a pretty bad team. But Buffalo had some really good play. I mean, they have a couple wide receivers that could potentially be a problem, and Giovanni Ruiz and Kean Williams. I'm terrible with names, but I'm guessing that's how you say those names.
Giovanni
had a touchdown, had one of their touchdowns, and Kean Williams had 96 yards receiving, and they really didn't throw that much. I believe they only threw a total like 15 times or something like that. They didn't throw very often. But their running was impressive. They ran the ball really well. Justin, I'll give you credit for this stat, but they had three running backs with over 13 carries. None of them had over 100 yards, but they had 7 rushing touchdowns. 7. And they had 1, 2, 3 guys with 1 touchdown and 2 guys with 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, the running was good. Nebraska's going to have to really figure out how to stop the run against these guys, because it was pretty damn impressive what they did.
Tyler, what do you see out of this Buffalo team?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll kind of leave my Wagner stats alone. I feel like I did as much research on Wagner, because when you see that score, it scares you. Like, and I guess when I talk about Buffalo, I remember talking about Buffalo before the coaching change, okay? Like, this was a game that there was a little bit of fear about, and then you had the coaching change. And then you bring in a new coach who had never been a Division I coach, for defensive coordinator, Maurice Lindquist from Michigan, who comes in the spring. So he doesn't even really get a full season, really get to know. And then you have 10 transfers out of Buffalo, and you're kind of like, okay, this is going to be a gimme game. And then all of a sudden they score 69 points and hold their opponent to under 100 yards total offense. They didn't have to punt once. Like, and now you're sitting there back and like, well, shit, is Buffalo going to test Nebraska? And I think they might. And Derek, you hit on the running game. I mean, I think it starts with Kevin Marks. He has scored a touchdown in his last six games. He was on the preseason Maxwell and Doak's watch list. Like, he is a player. And our running game, while it looked pretty, a run defense looked pretty good against Fordham, for whatever it's worth, it wasn't great against Illinois. And you kind of got to be a little bit worried about what Buffalo can do on Saturday. And this is just a typical, like, trip-up game for Nebraska. Nebraska has not won back-to-back games since Illinois and Northern Illinois in the beginning of the 2019 season.
Derek? Here, let me throw this out there, because you were talking about punts. They didn't punt at all. We punted twice against FCS. But I want to talk about the punt returns, because Nebraska, we haven't fared well with punt returns. We're averaging 1 yard returning a game. 1 yard in punt returns a game. We had 1 yard against Illinois and 1 yard here. Fordham, I think, or I'm sorry, not Fordham. Buffalo, they had like 68 yards in punt returns last week. 66 yards. A 19-yarder and a 26-yarder. They could run the ball. Of course, here's the thing, you know, it was against Wagner, you know. So any stats that they put up, you know, it's kind of like in Nebraska. You know, we're not going to put up similar stats. We're not going to get 600 yards total offense against this team. Well, are we?
No. But but could we do? Could
Your
could
face
we...
made it sound like that it was possible. You said no.
I would have said it was possible until I saw them hold the Wagner team to under 100 yards. Like, again.
And look, that is very impressive, really, honestly, for – I don't care who you're playing. Like, to hold them under 100 yards. There was only one other team in all of FBS that held a team under 100 yards this weekend, and that was Kentucky. I don't remember who they played, but I don't think they played anybody great either. But that is impressive. But back to your special teams, Justin. I mean, you talk about the returns, and I'll admit that wasn't good. But let's also admit that, you know, we've looked really good on kickoffs. We're not giving up returns because we're getting touchbacks. We're getting touchbacks almost 87% of the time this year, compared to the 30% we got last year. So that's much improved. Connor Culp had a really shitty first game. Looked absolutely great again in this game. I mean, he only had to kick one field goal, but he was right down the middle on all of his extra points. So that makes me feel a lot better. You talked about punter not kicking it 50 yards, but one of them was inside the 20, so I'll take that every time. And the other one was a 40-yard punt. So it's not perfect, but I'm not going to crap on the guy this week after having a decent game.
Well, what's intriguing about this Buffalo matchup is Scott Frost has come out and said that he is going to keep Cam Taylor-Britt back in punt return. And there was a lot of Husker Nation that really was not happy about that announcement. And I do think you need to take that with a grain of salt, because I do think if Oliver Martin is healthy, you will see him back on punt return. The depth chart alludes to that. But I will actually say I like that Frost is keeping Cam Taylor-Britt back there. And I know he's made two really bad decisions. And, you know, you don't want to say it's three strikes, you're out. But, like, last year he was an effective returner, and I do think there was a reason people like Phil Steele had him as an all-conference punt returner. Like, I think he has that ability. I don't know. It's yet to be determined if this is going to be a good decision or not. I'll tell you, if he screws up another punt return, you will see fans point to Frost like this was a really bad decision. But I still do. I think that I understand where Frost is coming from. Like, I think that he has the ability to make a play, and I think that's what Cam Taylor-Britt is doing. I think he is trying so hard to make a play. He is making bad decisions instead of letting the game come to him. Hopefully against Buffalo, I would like to see him back there for a punt return and get a chance to, like, I would love him to take one to the house Saturday.
I mean, we're not returning the ball anyway, so you might as well just get a guy in there that can catch the ball and not turn the ball over. I mean, yeah. You just got to go the safest way now, because you're not returning anything through two games.
Well, the problem is you had Brody Belt come in for relief of Cam Taylor-Britt, and then he bobbled one. So, I mean, if I'm the coaches this week at practice, like, I'm fine with Cam Taylor-Britt taking snaps, but I'm fielding Alante Brown back there. I'm putting Xavier Betts. I'm putting Ramir Johnson. Whoever you think can field the punt.
If Oliver Martin was in a boot, I would still put him back there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oliver Martin is going to be the primary punt returner. I do believe that. If he's healthy, and yet to be determined if he's going to be healthy.
All right, so back to Buffalo. Their quarterback, he's a junior, and through seven games last year, he threw over 1,300 yards, seven touchdowns, three interceptions. He threw decent against Wagner. Again, they didn't need to do a lot because they were already up 42-0 at the half in that game. But this is an experienced quarterback, and you know he's got some weapons around him. This could be a really interesting game. What I'm a little bit worried about is their defensive line against our offensive line in that matchup. Our guys are really gonna have to man up in this one. We got to get some good holes, and maybe if Marquise Stepp, if he is starting, you know, like Gabe Irvin, he's just not seeing the lanes properly or something. I mean, Marquise Stepp seems like he's got better vision. You know, again, that was against Fordham, but he played well against Illinois.
Well, I don't think it's just vision, Justin. I think it's like it's the little things. Like, I think where running backs really show their value is when you can take a 6 run into a 10-yard run because you cut just a tad bit, or you have a negative 1-yard loss because you're supposed to be blown up, and then you find a way to duck your shoulder the right way and you get to that 1-yard gain. Like,
and he can't break tackles.
Well, Gabe Irvin can't because he runs straight into the guy. Like he doesn't move. He doesn't do anything. But you talked about that defensive line. One of the names to watch out for is Taylor Riggins. He has 15.5 career sacks at Buffalo. Like, and he's going to be going against what perceives to be Turner Corcoran most of the game. You have a redshirt freshman is what we're going to call him at this point. I'm really bad at these freshmen, what to call them, school. He's making his fourth career start. Like, he's
a super freshman.
He's a super freshman. I do think there is a, you know, we've seen our pass rush break down a little bit. He could get after the quarterback. I don't know if he'll catch Adrian, but, like, I mean, he may flush some plays out a little bit, and you start erupting our backfield. I think we are going to need the run game to keep them honest on Saturday.
Derek?
No, Tyler said it well. I agree. I think you're going to have to come up with some quick passes. I think Tyler, like you said, Tyler, we're going to have to keep the run game's going to have to keep them honest. We can't just have them blitzing every play. But, you know, another way to do that is some quick passes. I know Nebraska fans just love the swing passes and the dump offs. But in this situation, if they're.
Yes,
Tyler's celebrating over here.
I was sitting there thinking that this week. I'm like, we haven't really seen a swing pass this year. We saw some wide receiver passes, and by the way, last week, one just note is every wide receiver pass was a forward pass still, even though it was in the backfield. So Adrian stopped the throwing it 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He was leading Torrey in those routes, but I was thinking this would be a really good game to see Marquise Stepp, Irvin Morrison on swing passes. I think this is a game that we can get to the outside. Our wide receivers have blocked very well this year. I actually wouldn't mind seeing, I mean, I don't want to see an Iowa 2019 where you run 32 swing passes, but 5-6 swing passes on Saturday. I wouldn't mind seeing a couple wide receivers. I wouldn't mind seeing a little of that on Saturday. Sorry, Derek.
No, that's what I was alluding to. Like, you don't want to overdo it, obviously, but yeah.
I think we can get them on the outside.
Even some quick slants that we used to see with Wandell a lot. You know, get some Oratory in a little open field. Get him a little slant pass across the middle. Let him make a play.
Well, Oliver Martin, and maybe he's back in the lineup. Omar Manning, same thing. Like, I'll tell you what, Omar Manning could have a field day Saturday. Like, I'm not quite calling him my breakout player on offense, but I've been impressed with what he's done, and I feel like Man, I feel like against a smaller secondary, he just could really make some plays.
So it's interesting you bring that up because they released a depth chart for the first time this year. And Omar Manning is second on the depth chart behind Wyatt Lever in there. What do you make of that, Tyler?
I don't agree with that. I think Omar has outplayed him. Now,
the fans didn't put out this depth chart. It came from the coaches.
No, I understand it. I think Omar's outplayed him. I don't agree with that decision. I will say, though, it's still early in the year, and Omar's doing the right things on the field on Saturday. You know, maybe these are some shots against the brow to get him to do the right things during Monday through Friday. And ultimately, the snaps are there for Omar. He took a lot of snaps against Illinois. He took the second most on Saturday. Like, you want to not start him to prove a point to him. This is another good game to kind of do that. But come Oklahoma, I really am hoping at this point he overtakes Lever as a starting wide receiver, because I think he is a better wide receiver.
You know, he was still getting reps late in the fourth quarter against Fordham. He was still getting reps out there.
He was.
I thought that was odd that he was still out there, but.
But again,
when they're rotating all the guys.
Fair point.
I think the biggest thing to me on this depth chart is, are we running a 5-2 defense all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Because we have a nose tackle and two defensive tackles and two defensive ends on the depth chart. With two inside linebackers.
You know what?
There's no outside linebackers listed on this depth chart.
They have Garrett Nelson. They have all these guys moved to defensive end. And
yeah. Caleb Tanner, Fildarius Payne, Garrett Nelson, Damian Jackson.
I don't get it. I mean, and Frost has never referred to them as defensive ends. That's a question I would love them to ask Shenander or something. It's like,
that was the,
why?
That was the first thing that stuck out to me like a sore thumb. I was like, defensive end? I haven't seen defensive end on a depth chart in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, obviously the outside backer.
They've got JoJo listed as the nickelback. Like,
yeah, that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, I mean, there is a weird depth chart. Like, and it seems like JoJo has referred to more of a nickelback than he has outside backer.
He has, but does that mean that we're not going to see a lot of JoJo in this game? Because I don't see them throwing the ball a ton to where we're going to need five defensive backs out there.
I don't know. I think these are questions. And I think Buffalo, we'll get to score predictions, but I think Buffalo can run the ball against us. I'm going to kind of take this. If I had to circle one guy on defense this weekend, like the guy that I think that is most critical for us to have a big game is Luke Reimer. Like, he had a pretty good freshman campaign. He's not been great as a guy who I thought was going to be our number one inside backer. Kind of looking at that depth chart, looking at what I expect Buffalo to do, like, he is a guy that, like, I don't want to say in order for us to win, but, like, he is the guy. Like, he is the number one most important defender for me on Saturday. If he has a great game, like, we can win this game by a couple scores. If he plays like he has been, this could be a dogfight.
Well, let's get into the score predictions here. Tanner, how do you see this one playing out, and what's your score prediction?
I think this is going to be a very tight game going into halftime. Nebraska just... You know, we came out slow last week. I think this is a game that Oklahoma's on the horizon. I can definitely see this scare the Huskers that come out slow. I do think in the second half, our defense kind of finds its rhythm and really shuts them down. However, I do think Buffalo scores like a late touchdown that really pucker butts. So I got Nebraska winning 28-24.
28-24. Wow. Derek.
I don't have it quite that close, but I do agree. I think it'll be a game going into halftime. Well, I think it'll be a game even towards the end, but I could see Nebraska even still struggle maybe a little bit in the third quarter. But I think by fourth quarter, they kind of start taking care of it a little bit. This team does scare me. It really does. Seeing the way they can run the ball, our run defense is improving and they continue to improve, but they still haven't proven they can actually shut down a running offense like this. And so I think they're going to score some points on us a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be overboard. I got Nebraska going to 31-21.
All right, so this was really hard for me because, you know, I had scenarios running through my head where it could be a three-point game or Nebraska could blow them out by three touchdowns, you know, and all in between. I've gone back and forth on this. But now that I know that Tyler is going to be at the game on Saturday, I have to really think about what my score prediction is. It's going to be a tough game whether or not Tyler's there or not, but having Tyler there is just that added pressure. But no, I think Nebraska, they're going to get it done 31-27. I'm with you guys. This is going to be one that I'll probably be on my feet the entire game. God dang it. It's going to be scary. It'll be fun.
What was your score prediction, Derek?
31-21.
Yeah, I will say this. I was thinking about this scenario. It's a 13.5 point spread. What would be a more surprising result to you? Nebraska covers or Nebraska loses?
I don't know. I mean, I can see either happening.
I would say Nebraska losing would be more surprising. Like, I can't see us losing this game, but I could see a scenario where the Wagner game was just what we are hoping right now, and it's, God, Wagner's just the worst team in the world, and that's what Buffalo did it. Because if you would have asked me, like, what I thought we were going to win by 3 weeks ago, like, I would have said by four touchdowns, and I'm really thinking that I'm hoping we get back to that 17-21 point victory.
Here's my biggest scare. I feel this is a trap game. Yeah, Oklahoma coming up next. You're coming off of a big win. I mean, it's not over a big team, but it was a blowout where we looked good. And unfortunately, as much as I love Scott Frost, and I will continue to back Scott Frost for as long as he's here, he hasn't done well with back-to-back good games. And so I think that's why it scares me as much as it does, is I could see us putting up a turd and, you know, oh, we had a bad week of practice. We were looking ahead to Oklahoma. Of course, Scott Frost won't admit that we were looking ahead to Oklahoma, but he'll just say we had a bad week of practice. But at the end of the day, I mean, a loss here wouldn't surprise me. Like, it just wouldn't shock me anymore.
I don't know. The way that the fan base is right now, I don't think they would be very, you know, receptive of a loss at this point.
Oh, absolutely not.
Especially to Buffalo. I mean, this is...
You can't lose to a MAC team when you're four. Like, you can't.
You know, it's...
And this may be the game that writes Scott Frost check to get the F out of here. Like,
but again, I just think that Nebraska...
I hate to say that. I hope they do. I really do. And I think they will.
But
Nebraska just has not done well after a big game, after winning big. Like, we destroy a team, then next week it's like we play like shit. It's like they just celebrate all week long. Yeah, we kicked their ass. And then forget to play in the next week. Yeah. It's happened too much under Frost.
The fans are going to have to get behind them big time at this game. And there were times last week, Fordham... I mean, the fans were loud. They got loud in that stadium. And so hopefully, you know, they'll need the fans behind them again this time too. And it's a 2:30 kickoff, so they should be liquored up pretty decent by the time kickoff gets there. Any final thoughts on Buffalo?
Well, let's just hope Tyler gets too liquored up to be at the game.
Oh, man.
Guys. Tyler,
if Nebraska loses, will you cease going to any Nebraska games in person?
I don't know. I mean, here's what I'm hoping. Because, like, last week, just kind of my last thing on this, is last week Nebraska exceeded all of our expectations against Florida. And I'm really hoping that we get back here next week and... Man, you know, Nebraska wins this game 34-10. And, like, I would love to see a score like that. And then all of a sudden, because I think that, I don't want to say it flips the narrative, because it certainly doesn't. It's Buffalo. We won't make anything of it. But if we can do that and cover a spread, and the fact that, Justin, you don't think we're going to cover, and you are the kiss of death, I would hope you bet on Buffalo. I'm kind of rooting for that. Like, talk about me.
You guys,
like,
don't have Nebraska covering either. So,
I understand that. But, like, but last week none of us did, and they scored four over. They did. They covered the game last week. So yeah. I'm hoping, like, we come back next week and we're in the right position. But everything Derek said, like, why this game scares me, like, I think Buffalo will shorten the game. I don't think we're going to get a lot of offensive possessions. I still think there's too much doubt at what they're going to do at running back rotation. I just think that there is enough negatives that are going to slow us down offensively, and they're going to put up enough points. But if our defense can stop them, woo, I'm going to feel a little bit – I'm going to say we have a shot against Oklahoma. I can feel it already.
I got to win the turnover battle in this one. This is competitive enough where you can't give away cheap turnovers, you know, like last week. I mean, it's you have to take care of the ball.
They still won the turnover battle last week.
And one was with Logan Smothers, who, if we see Logan Smothers on Saturday, either things went really bad or really good. So,
well, you know, that's the other thing. You know, you were talking about Adrian Martinez running eight times last week, and like four were designed runs. Is that what you said? Is that the stat?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to see him run a lot against Buffalo, because they will hit a hell of a lot harder than Fordham.
Yeah, I think this is a 10-carry game for him, right? I think this is, if you keep it at 10 carries, I think that's probably the benchmark for him at this point. Another thing I really wanted to see, I want to see the fullback this game. I think this is a really good game to fuck with Oklahoma.
Yarquez, yeah, baby.
I'm telling you, I think this is a game. Let's give Oklahoma one more thing to prepare, and let's throw out Yon in the fullback five, six plays.
Can we give that man a little credit?
He's a fridge.
Like, dude, he came in and looked impressive. He was breaking tackles running backwards. That dude looked impressive. He's not going to be your every down back. But man, he's got to get into that short yardage situation back kind of thing, because he is just a bruiser. Like, nobody wants to tackle that guy. Yeah. Even Greenhagen had troubles tackling him. I don't know. Maybe it was because he already had 28 tackles, but I mean, he even struggled to tackle the guy. Like, nobody was tackling
him. I will tell you, you put that formation, you go I, and then you put in step in the backfield. Like, that's a bruising offense that will really wear on a team as the game goes on. The more fascinating thing, we saw a little bit of the outside option with the wide receiver. I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, you start running a little bit of triple option. Again, you don't want to overdo it, but just give Oklahoma just a little bit more to game plan.
I don't care. I don't even care who you put behind Yant. Even if you're not handing the ball off to Yant, I don't want that guy blocking me either.
Yeah.
Like, let him be a lead blocker and just run some ISOs with him.
Do you guys
just get
like
back that eye formation a little bit?
Do you guys like Toure when they run the option? Do you like the option to him?
I do. I think he's looked impressive. I don't love Adrian Martinez's pitches to him.
Oh, really? I think,
I mean, they've worked out well, but God dang it, he throws the ball 15 yards to get it to him.
And he holds it late every single time he waits for contact.
I can handle that. But he's flipping it to him 15 yards. That's just begging for a fumble
He hasn't run one yet either, has he?
No. But just to answer the question, one of my things is, I don't know about, like, Ramir Johnson to me, and maybe Marvin Scott, who are our fourth and fifth running back. I don't know if Step, maybe Sevion Morrison, I guess maybe. I just don't know if we have the perimeter speed to run that play a ton. Like, I don't know how Marquis Stepp would run doing that option. Like, I don't know if he's going to have the speed, and I don't know if you trust Gabe Irvin on that pitch. Like, I don't know that.
But I think you do a Sevian Morris.
Yeah, maybe well, him.
It makes you wonder if the coaches don't trust any of the running backs, and that's why they keep running with Toure.
Again, to keep running is a pretty big exaggeration. He had three carries. It's not this but, was this.
But he had two against Illinois, right?
You have to fact check that, but this isn't Wandale Robinson 2.0. Like, we are far from Wandale Robinson. They're not running them in the tackles. You know, I think this is a far cry from Wandale Robinson 2.0 situation with running the ball. If Torrey starts running in the tackles, that should never happen.
No. I'm just talking with the option. All right, let's we got to breeze through some games of the week here. Quick standings.
Just real quick. Toure did have two carries against Illinois. I fact checked it for you.
Uh-huh.
All right. So yeah. All right. So last week, me and Tanner, we went 4-2. Derek, you're in last place with 3-3.
I gave it to you. I picked Miami of all, by God. I mean, come on. I just handed you guys the lead. I wanted to take a step back and get a running start.
You were high on that Miami pick for weeks, and you were wrong.
Yeah. Hey, I'll admit I was wrong. That was bad. It was a bad pick. But I really honestly thought the experience of Miami would at least put up a game against Alabama, and they did.
Hey, while we're talking about last week's games, do you guys change your opinion on Indiana and Iowa at this point?
Indiana for sure.
Can he play that bad? Can Penix play that bad again? Like, I mean, could this be Penix? I'm going to call him Penix. Hey, you know, when Penix gets hard, like, things go crazy. And no, I mean, like, he can't play that bad. He can't play that bad. Like, could this be a little bit of he just came back from an ACL tear and just played just because Iowa's offense was not impressive. I don't remember. I don't know what the stat line is. We didn't do any research, but it was like 380 yards total offense for Iowa. Like, it wasn't overly impressive. They had two pick sixes. I mean, could that game just be summed up that he just played? I mean, he has the worst passer rating in the Big Ten. Like, if he's that bad, then I've changed my opinion. But I do expect him to rebound to some capacity as the season goes on.
Well, I mean, I had Iowa going 10-2 this year, and they're looking stout, man.
I mean, they look like they're the leaders in the West.
Yeah. I would. Yeah,
I'll admit that. But I'll tell you what, I had Indiana finishing strong third, and maybe even pushing for second place in the East. And right now, I'm not convinced they're a 6-16.
We'll talk a little bit more about Iowa here in a minute, but.
Oh, yeah, we got a good game. So let's get into these games of the week here. First game here is we're going to do Ohio State at Ohio State, Oregon. Ohio State, they're 14.5-point favorites. Tyler, what do you think?
And I apologize. I can't find my notes. But Oregon had a big injury last week. One of the arguably the best pass rusher in the country goes down with an injury last week for them. He's questionable for Ohio State, and I can't think of the guy's name. I thought Ohio State was going to win this game weeks ago. I know they didn't blow the top off Minnesota, but I didn't expect them to. I actually called that. I thought Minnesota was going to be a one possession game, so they kind of exceeded my expectations. I think that CJ Stroud's got a little bit under him without that Oregon pass rusher. I think they just take full advantage, and I like Ohio State to win this game by a couple scores.
Eric?
Well, here's the thing. Like, everybody wants to talk about OSU struggling against Minnesota. Minnesota looked good in that game. Losing Mo Ibrahim is going to kill him in the long run, I think. But at the end of the day, they played a good game. Tanner Morgan did not look overly impressive. But the thing about Minnesota was everybody expected their offense to be good, and their offense was good. So it didn't surprise me that they scored some points on Ohio State. But at the end of the day, I don't think Oregon's got enough athletes to keep up with Ohio State. I have a feeling this is where Ohio State probably ends up. I think they'll blow them out. And I think this is where Ohio State gets all the credit they think they deserve, and everyone think they're the best team in the country after week two.
I like OSU in this game by, you know, I was actually shocked that the line was 14.5. I like it a little bit closer than that, but it's going to be a fun game. Second most entertaining game of the weekend. The most entertaining game is this one, Iowa State and Iowa. Iowa State's 4.5-point favorites. Derek, do you believe that shit?
No, I absolutely cannot believe that shit. It's absurd to me. This is stupid. I don't know what Vegas is thinking. I don't think this is even that close of a game. I'm not sure if it's the most entertaining game. I think Iowa destroys them. After Iowa State struggled against Northern Iowa, and don't give me that shit they were looking past them for Iowa. You don't look past your first opponent. I don't buy that.
One thing I'll say is Iowa State, they start off slow like every year, though. I mean, their first game.
But Matt Campbell's still like 0-5 against Iowa. I don't think after seeing what I'd seen Saturday that all of a sudden that's going to change, especially after seeing what I've seen out of Iowa. So I think Iowa wins fairly big. I don't know. I'm not convinced Iowa State even keeps us in the same ballpark.
Tanner?
Well, I wholeheartedly disagree. So let's just say, first of all, those buildings in Vegas didn't get big and pretty and expensive by not knowing what the fuck they're talking about. So I think they're on to something there. Secondly, any chance I could pick against Iowa, I will do it. And thirdly, I'm with Justin. He talked about Iowa State starts off slow, and you know, last year they lose to Louisiana Lafayette, and they end up having a really good year. I like Iowa State in this game.
Wow, I like Iowa again. I'm rolling with Iowa until they prove me wrong. Wasn't a fan last week. I was disappointed in Matt Campbell and Iowa State. I know that they start off slow, but that's pretty ridiculous right there. I mean, letting Northern Iowa stick around that long with a chance. I mean, they were in it to the end.
100%.
Came up short with on a fourth down. But no, give me Iowa. Next game is Utah BYU. Utah is 7-point favorites. Tyler.
I'm going to go Utah in this game. Like, BYU is that team that you know they're going to play everyone tough. And you know that they're going to show up. I mean, it's hard to read anything into last week's game with Utah and Weber State, but I think that Utah is probably in some sort of contendership for the Pac-12 title after Oregon, and maybe UCLA now, but like, I'm going to go Utah with very little conviction on this.
Utah. All right, Derek.
I really didn't know which way to go with this one. This is a tough game. I think this is probably a good possibility of being one of the best games on the slot here. I think BYU, I think they can pull the upset. Like, Utah did struggle last week, and I BYU looked impressive last week, I thought. So I'm going to go with BYU in this one.
I took Utah. I mean, I have no basis for it. I mean, I don't really watch Pac-12. I don't watch BYU. West Coast teams, I don't really pay attention to.
East Coast homer. And Utah did not struggle. They won 40-17. I mean,
but you look at what was the halftime score? Like,
it was 20-7
for a while.
It was the same as the Nebraska. I mean, it was
they were struggling for a while, and they pulled away in the second.
Who did
half.
Utah play?
Weber State.
Oh. Okay. I'm still.
And I would say 20. I would say 20-7 at halftime is struggling a little bit against that team. Like,
well, then what the hell? Nebraska was up 24-7 over an FCS.
Let's
opponent,
move on. Let's move on, Basher.
and we said it. We struggled a little bit in the first half, and they. I mean,
All right. Washington, Michigan. Michigan 6.5-point favorites. Tyler?
I you know, Frost made a comment after the Illinois game, said, I feel like we've seen this movie, and I feel like we've seen this movie with Michigan. Like, Michigan looked really good against West Michigan. I know it's easy to scoff. It's Western Michigan. What does that mean? Like, they looked better than I thought they would against that team. Vice versa, Washington looked better or looked terrible and lost to Montana. However, just last year, this same scenario presented itself, and then Michigan, they just went in, beat Minnesota, destroyed them, and then they lay a turd. I think they're going to lay a turd against Washington. Like, there is nothing I saw last weekend that's going to, like, prove this, but I'm going to go Washington beats Michigan Saturday.
Wow. Derek?
Man, I can't disagree with you more, Tyler. I don't think... After losing to Montana, I don't know where they're even at. Where's their psyche at right now? And you're going to go on the road to Michigan? You're going to the big house, man. I don't see it ending well for you there. I just really don't. I think Michigan wins fairly easily.
Yeah, so when we did our preseason rankings, or not preseason rankings, our preseason predictions, this was a game that I thought Michigan was going to lose to. I thought they were going to lose this game against Washington. But after last week, after what Michigan did and what Washington did, I mean, I like Michigan to cover in this game right now. Yeah.
If we were doing the best bet segment, I think this would probably be my best bet right here.
Disagree. It might be my best bet, too, for Washington. Again, I'm not – like, Michigan – okay – they played.
You two should just bet each other. Yeah. Bet each other a round of golf.
Well, hey, all I need is Derek to come up to Ashland.
All right.
Hey, you know your way to Grand Island, too.
That's fair.
Okay. I'm sorry. I cut you off. I mean, what were you saying?
I get it. Everything you guys say, if you just base it off last weekend, like, I get it. It just... like, I'm still not convinced, like, all the turmoil that Michigan has gone through with their coaches, like, I know it looks bad. I know it just feels like it's almost too good to be true for Harbaugh right now this weekend. And I they may not win. Washington may not win. They will play Michigan close. I am as confident in that as anything I've said on this podcast tonight.
Well, the shitty part about this whole thing is, since Washington lost last week, I mean, Jim Harbaugh, he doesn't even get the fruits of that, you know, of like that win, you know?
Yeah.
If they beat him by two touchdowns, well, nobody's going to say, yeah, Jim Harbaugh, you kick ass. It's like, well, they lost to an FCS team last
That's
week.
Fair, Doug. I mean, that's a great point. Because, again, you walked into this season with no coach in the Big Ten being on a hotter seat than Harbaugh. And, you start dialing up the points. They go 7-8 wins. Like, this isn't going to be a feather in his cap if they win this game. Like.
Yeah. And if Washington, if they're in a tailspin.
And if they win, and God forbid they win. Like, that's the Monday headline I'm looking forward to. Maybe I just really want chaos. I want to see Washington win and Michigan just burn the shit to the ground. Because I'll tell you this much, as much as I worry about Frost getting fired at Nebraska, Harbaugh getting fired at Michigan would be a idiot move. Like, I don't know what Michigan does after getting rid of Harbaugh.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that... I guess they can't Lane Kiffin him since it's they're at Michigan, but you lose to Washington after what they did. Man, that's not good. That is not good for Jim Harbaugh. Anyway, last game here. Texas, 6.5-point favorites over Arkansas. Derek, how do you see it?
I'll tell you, Arkansas looked pretty good this last weekend, but I don't think they have it. Texas, I'm still not convinced it's a great team, but they still have more talent. And Sarkisian will find a way to get past them, but I think it could be a close game.
You're taking Texas?
Yes.
Tyler?
a future conference matchup. Yeah, Arkansas looked okay last weekend. They played Rice. Luke McCaffrey did see some snaps last weekend. Wasn't anything noteworthy as a late transfer. 10. Yeah, as a transfer in. Justin thought Texas was going to lose. I think Texas is a little bit better than Arkansas at this point. I do think this is a competitive game. Texas wins this game.
Yeah. So I picked Louisiana over Texas last week, and watching that game, man, I was shocked. Texas, they got a good team, and I think Louisiana's a good team also. But Texas just, God, they beat the hell out of them. And I thought they would have a little bit of a drop-off, you know, a new coach and all that. But, God, they
I mean, really, with all the four stars or five stars that Texas has, they should have dominated that
game. Yeah, but you know what? I mean, you can say that about every single year, though, and they just don't. They get coaches fired is what happens. They have all that talent, and they don't win.
I get it.
You know, under Strong or Herman, they might have lost this damn game.
Well,
but they came out, and they were dialed into this game.
You talk about Texas last weekend, and, you know, I think we ACC looked like garbage. Pac-12 looked bad. Like, I mean, if UCLA doesn't beat LSU, I mean, it's bad for the Pac-12. But this is easily the best, and even with Oklahoma and Iowa State struggling, this is easily the best the Big 12 has looked under the college football playoff. Like, it is I say that, then I just remember West Virginia lost to Maryland, which would have lost that one. But, yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just writing too much in the Texas because I thought they were going to be the fourth best team in that conference, but like
Texas Tech with the big come from behind win at Houston. Houston was up like 3 touchdowns, weren't they?
I bet on Texas Tech in that game.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I bet you were sweating bullets for a while.
I was.
What was the line on that game anyway?
Houston was favored by, I think, 2.5 or 3.5.
Really?
I just didn't see Houston beating them, and I got lucky. Wow. There ain't no doubt about it. I got lucky. It was Houston did a lot better against them than I thought they would.
Well, it was a great week one of football, except for, you know, the Georgia Clemson game, the game that we thought was going to be the nightcap. What a shithole game!
It was unwatchable.
Yeah, it was.
It was unwatchable. I watched at best 5 minutes of that game.
I watched a lot of that game, and it was, I mean, I fell asleep. I woke up and like, oh, I took a nap. It must be something must have happened. Oh, wait, nothing has happened.
I had two.
It's so funny because I seen on Twitter where everybody was bashing ESPN and a lot of other people about how everybody wants to, bash the Big Ten, talk about how terrible Wisconsin and Penn State were because that was such a low-scoring game. And they turn around and watch that Clemson-Georgia game. They're like, oh, 10-3, what great defenses we just watched. But it wasn't even that great a defense. Like, it was just shit. Like, yeah. Every time I turned to it, there was nothing but shit going on.
I had two TVs going on at night during the games, and neither one of those two TVs was on the Clemson-Georgia game. I moved one to the Illinois game, the other one to the Purdue game. I mean, those were much more entertaining than what I saw there.
Oh, man. That Illinois game was fun to watch.
Yeah.
It really was. And I found myself rooting very hard for Illinois, and it didn't happen. But
Tanner was rooting hard for Illinois, too, after his little bold statements last week.
Hence the 28-24 Nebraska victory this Saturday. If Illinois looked better, I might have given us another touchdown, but Illinois did not give me much more confidence for my Huskers, so thanks a lot, Kurt.
That was pretty disappointing right there. But all right, well, we don't have a great slate of games, but there's a few games in here that are pretty solid, so we'll be watching those.
Let's go Cyclones.
I'm not going to, yeah. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm going to say go Big Red only. Special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter, at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. As always, go Big Red. Now he throws for a first down. Frost up in over.